This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
Welcome back to the show. Westman customers, you guys can find AMI Audio on channel 889 in Western Canada. And Rogers Ignite, you guys can find us on channel 146. Visit ami.ca/schedules for a list of channel locations in your area to watch, listen in on Kelly and Company via your television. Ramya Muth and Kelly McDonald, hosts of the show.
And every couple of weeks, we're joined by Jeff Ryman, not just in general, because he joins us all the time, but specifically for What in the World?
The defendant's guilty verdict in a firearms case can't be automatically reversed just because the judge dozed off. The cries were that of a 40-year-old parrot named Rambo. Let me out. Some of it weird, some of it just crazy. This is What in the World on Kelly and Company.
Mind-boggling. Now, Jeffy, obviously, I meant it in the nicest way possible that you join us all the time, right? You knew that.
Oh, yeah, of course. I totally knew that. It was very nice. It was a very nice welcome. Oh, so I appreciate that. And, you know, it's always good to do these. And the more we can squeeze in What in the World, the better. And if you guys noticed last week, we squeezed in, or 2 weeks ago, I should say, we squeezed in an extra one because it was kind of an odd week. We had 5 weeks in the month. So I figured, why not? Let's put in an extra What in the World.
Gwen, will you guys have the 5 weeks to deal with? I just find it, I just sit back and, good luck, Jeff. Rum, have fun with that as you produce the show in that extra week there. You know, it's, what the heck are we doing? And then I just totally get confused. Okay, what week is this? When is this on? Yeah. This is on the, once we have a fifth week month kind of time.
Right. Exactly. You just kind of keep posted on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
Honestly, I could do this every week. Some of the stories that come across the newswire, I'm telling you guys, like it makes me laugh, and some of this stuff is just completely ridiculous. But I think every other week is very nice for our audience. But like I said, you know, maybe we can push
production
it to
meeting.
Once a week. Yeah, I know, right? Guys, I'll start off with the first article here, and it's very interesting and good on the owner of this pizza shop in Detroit. So people have been known to spend money to paint the town red, but in Detroit, a pizza shop owner used his money to paint part of the town blue. That was in order to help people save dough, and not literally like pizza dough, like money, right? Tony Stacco is co-owner of Moots Pizzeria and Bar, and he says he got tired of seeing people get socked with $150 tickets for unknowingly parking in a poorly marked accessible parking zone near his shop. So he bought some bright blue paint and marked off the area where parking is restricted. He did this all by himself. And afterward of Sacco's do-it-yourself effort, it made the local news and the city step in. A traffic engineer says more signs will be installed on the street, but the blue paint will either be removed or covered up. So they, one owner went out and saw that people were getting ticketed for mistakenly parking in an accessible zone, and the city took note. And now they're going to fully renovate a couple of these parking spots. And somebody who is fully sighted and able-bodied, obviously, I don't typically ever park in those parking spots. But when I do, usually they are very colorful. They're blue and sometimes even have a little bit of yellow in there. But sometimes I've also noticed it's really hard to see. And sometimes on old pavement, these things can just wear out. They just, it just gets really hard to see. And so, I mean, it's definitely on the city, first and foremost, to make sure that those are up to standards, that people are actually aware of those specific parking zones. But like I said, good on this owner for sort of taking initiative in not only helping people not get tickets, but also helping people who are maybe even looking for that accessible parking spot that, you know, it's known that, hey, you can park here. It is fine. So I thought this is a really cool story and good on him for taking that initiative and that step in the right direction.
That is awesome. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about like the fading away and things. I kind of noticed that with different things, not necessarily parking related, but, you know.
Crosswalks,
exactly, mm-hmm. and other kind of lines when you're trying to use them as markers. And in the blind, low vision community, maybe some of us can utilize. So that's really great.
I think also, Jeff, when you talk about moving your way through plazas and malls and stuff, parking or places that have fronts right out where maybe the parking mm-hmm. spots are, one of the things that owners are really dealing with is, okay, you're either taking up sidewalk and you have to put that rope up or put lines down, which may be great. Maybe you're okay to do that because you have to do the social distancing. But at some places, people just kind of line up. The place just leaves and people are standing in parking spots out to the driveway area all over the sidewalk. And I know as a blind person, walking through there is just awful. I don't know how people pull up close anymore to places and park when you've got people trying to get under roofs or standing there for lineups. It's very difficult.
Yeah, honestly, whenever I drive to or the grocery store or just out and about, I park probably the furthest away of anybody in the entire parking lot. You've probably heard the horror stories of the good old Costco parking lots mm-hmm. in and around the country. Yeah, I never am one of those people who try to get the closest spot. I just try to get I wouldn't say even most convenient. I would just say the easiest spot to get into. I actually enjoy taking a little bit of a longer walk to get into the grocery store. It's great exercise. but I also don't want my car to get dinged. So that's another part of it. Like I said, good on this fellow in Detroit to take that step forward, take that initial step. And it's good on the city that they finally got back on board, but I'm still kind of puzzled that they just don't go around. Because typically, especially in Toronto, I've noticed a lot of places each and every year, whenever something starts to fade, whether that is sidewalks or if it's the accessible parking spot, that people will be out there painting it, and it always gets updated. I mean, you'll have some of those parking spots that do slip through the cracks and maybe slightly more faded than others. But I feel like the greater Toronto area does a pretty good job making it known that, where you're parking is either valid or not valid, but good on the sure. pizza owner here in Detroit. I also want to stick in Detroit because this one is actually really interesting and just sort of around the corner. And I guess technically our neck of the woods here in Ontario, if you were to go south. And it's a fish story. And it was the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says one of its crews was doing a study on sturgeons, the sturgeon, in the Detroit River when it hooked a big old fish, a 240-pound sturgeon. That thing is a monster.
Wow. Good grief, Jeff. That's you or I.
Yeah, it's bigger than I am. It's 7 foot long, 240-pound fish. That is like the size of an NBA player. Yeah. It's massive. Was caught in April, and wildlife officials posted images of it online on Friday. Officials believe the sturgeon, which was a female, is about 100 years old, and the top limit for that type of fish, typically a lifespan would be around 55 years. So it's basically doubled that. And obviously, so they recorded that, they collected their data, and the fish was released back into the Detroit River. So there's literally almost a sea monster just swimming around in the Detroit River. But I thought it was kind of funny to see a 240-pound sturgeon, 7 foot long, monster of a fish somehow caught in that Detroit River. And they predicted, like I said, 100 years old. So
that's unbelievable. And even the age is tremendous.
I know. just the age itself, Kelly, 100 years old is it. Meanwhile, like I mentioned, the average lifespan for these fish, I mean, sometimes they're caught and they aren't released. And then some are able to just live a nice life. But they said the typical lifespan is 55 years. And this one's 100 years. That's basically double of what it should be living. So incredible stuff. And I thought that was kind of cool that it is fairly close to us here in Toronto, just down the way.
Well, anyone catching that too, depending, you know, if you just, most people are catching it just through their fishing, wherever it's come from, and it's probably just snap their lines, no issue, and spit out their, you know, the hook, whatever. Been, I hate to see its mouth because it's probably had numerous hooks in it. But that sounds like such a smart fish. It could get in someone's net. I'll just like Harry Houdini my way out of here. Like, that's a wild. Yeah.
I wonder like what it was like for those people to pull that fish in, because I don't know about you guys, but I've gone fishing a lot throughout my lifetime, and sometimes you think you have a big fish, you start reeling it in, and you're like, oh man, like this is massive, this is going to be great, like, what is this? And you pull it up and it's just a bunch of weeds or
But even when it's a small aggressive one, it's because you think, oh good grief, like some of them are really aggressive, some of them are very strong, and you're talking, you know, 25-30 pounds. Could you, this thing would just either come up out of water. What do you think you're doing, Jeff? You just put me right back there and get lost. As a matter of fact, get out of this neighborhood.
You're right. Some of the smaller fish put up a bigger fight than some of the larger fish out there. But
like, you wouldn't even want to bring him into your boat. You couldn't generally. Yeah. Like, he would be the size of the boat. Like,
how would you? Like I said, that's the size of an NBA player. Just think, to put it in comparison, if you're looking at the Toronto Raptors, that thing would be bigger than all of the Toronto Raptors. I don't think anybody's seven foot.
No, no one's 7 foot anymore.
Toronto.
That's maybe Jonas Aaron Valanciunas. That's Jonas.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Imagine pulling up Jonas Valanciunas from the Detroit River with a little fishing line.
I wonder how many people have lost their rods, you know, because it would yank and the rod would be gone. It's like, what?
Doesn't that happen? I assume that happens so often.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And something like that, like, I couldn't even imagine. You wouldn't break your arm. It would just, your wrist would just, it would be yanked right out of your hand. The worst that could happen is it could hook on you and you go into the water with it.
Oh, my.
And then you're wondering, what is that?
What still confuses me is the fact that the fishing line doesn't snap. Like, if you guys have ever seen or held fishing line, it is like a little tiny thread. Yeah. And some of the fish that they catch, like, it doesn't snap. I mean, sometimes it does. Don't get me wrong. It can. Oh, yeah. But at the same time, like, oh, so 240 pounds and 100 years old. So,
well, a lot of them snap too to save you your rod and stuff, because they know, like, okay, at a certain point, you're not getting this thing anyway. Like, it's something like that, you're not getting it in. You know, there's just no point. So it's going to go, and it's safer for it to snap for you and the fish.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, sometimes you just want to let go.
If you didn't know, though, right? Like, if you're just reeling and reeling and reeling it in, when do you decide you're not gonna continue?
Like, you couldn't even probably get it to break water, because, and if it did, it would scare you. Like, Rumya, it would come up, blowing your face. You'd be, I'm out of here.
I would just assume my thing got snagged somewhere down there, and this is not even real. Like, it can't be a fish.
And then you just cut the line.
It's too heavy.
Cut your losses, right? And exactly. until you heard from the water.
Right.
That's typically what I would do after a while of reeling in, and you go nowhere. You'd probably figure
that's
that
heavy. Like, how are you
towing you in the boat?
Mind you, the government who found this monster, I don't know if they're necessarily just using some little dinky,
no, that's so true.
Fishing line. They probably have some either a net or some other.
Yeah. They got like documentary style material going.
Yeah, I don't know what they would use to catch a monster like this. Maybe they were using those deep sea fishing rods, or honestly, I don't really know. But all I know is that it is incredible to pull out that type of it, and that would kind of creep me out. I don't think anybody's swimming in the Detroit River anyways, because it's probably filthy. But if you were, I feel like I'd be kind of scared to even dip my toes in there, knowing that there was a huge fish, a huge sturgeon in there. Kind of creepy.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, it really is.
All right, Jeffy. Well, thank you. This is actually where it goes. And I do want to say before I forget, this is the most creative way you guys brought sports into a segment ever, I think. Talking about those
you know what?
Players.
I think you're onto something. Yeah, you don't catch NBA players in the ocean very often. So that is.
He got to your NBA, but that's like an NBA player, Ramya. Thanks, Jeff.
Bye, Jeffy.
See you guys.
What in the world? Almost every other week here on Kelly Co.
The Roundtable, up next with Mark Phoenix.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.